and this is the Community Connection Show with Greg Carrick here on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley. And it's that time where we have the Mayor of the Shire in the studio, Councillor Tony Stevenson, and after a year of doing this, we still haven't got a name for the show.
It's Greg's musical challenge, as he continues to challenge me with some new tastes. I'm really enjoying it. Thanks, Greg.
No worries. Now, this is your last gig as the Mayor for this year, is that right?
Yes, yeah. Every year we have a mayoral election about the middle of November, so... We'll see who's in the chair for the next 12 months leading the council.
Okay. Well, I'll be looking forward to grilling whoever it is.
Well, you've done a good job.
And have some grilled mare.
Yeah.
Lots of things to talk about. And next January, of course, one of the big events is the Australia Day Awards. And apparently now is the time to think about who to nominate. Is that right?
Well, that's right. This year has gone fast, and before we know it, it's going to be Christmas. And before we know it, we're into next year, the year 2020, which is to me a bit of a strange concept. I'm still trying to figure the year. When I was at school, the book 1984 was set in the future, and now it's well in the past. So that's a scary idea. But yes, every year we have our Australia Day awards. On Australia Day, we welcome new Australian citizens, but we also recognise many members of the community who contribute so much and often don't get recognised. So now there's 158,000 people across Yarra Ranges, and we can't possibly keep tabs on them all or hardly any at all, really. So it's up to members of the community to identify people around them who they think have done a fantastic job and who may not have always been recognised, and to put them forward. And there will be some fierce competition, but we absolutely appreciate just hearing about all the good things that people are doing. There's opportunities to recognise people through certificates of recognition as well. But there are a number of categories such as Citizen of the Year, Young Citizen of the Year, Environmental Achiever of the Year, Mayor's Lifetime Achievement Award. There's a broad range of categories. So you just need to go to the council website, yarrarangers.vic.gov.au, search for Australia Day Awards, and you'll see the process you can go about to nominate people.
Yeah. And going to put you on the spot here, do you expect any issues to arise from the federal government putting in a dress code and all that sort of thing for Australia Day?
Oh, no, look, people in Yarra Rangers are always very respectful of the citizenship ceremonies we have. People come dressed in all sorts of traditional costume, and people treat it as a very important moment in people's lives as they transition from being the citizen of one country into becoming an Australian citizen. So we've always had very good ceremonies. One on Australia Day has attracted some controversy around the country. We don't think it's terribly controversial locally. We're respectful of everyone in the community. We always open with a member of our local Indigenous people, or Wurundjeri people.
Yep.
It's the very first person you'll hear from on Australia Day, as is appropriate. You're talking about people who've been here for thousands of generations, and it is the right thing to do is to make sure they're very much part of this and at the very start. And we also support the event in Belgrave, which is
Survival Day.
Survival Day. So we provide plenty of opportunities for people to be involved in a variety of ways. And I really hope that we can move to a state that that everyone recognises Australia Day as a day for us all to come together. I know some people have some hesitations and concerns at this stage. I hope we can address that over time. You know, throwing it out there, perhaps maybe what we should do is instead of sticking with just the 26th of January, is to maybe think about a different day. It's just my personal view. It's not a council position. But I know that there's many people who have concerns about that particular date, but there's many others really want to make sure we still have a public holiday in January. So you know, the thought I had is, you know, you could celebrate the Federation of Australia, but that's on the 1st of January.
Yeah.
So we already have a public holiday there. So just thinking through, you know, maybe the best thing to do is that we celebrate Australia Day on the last Monday in January, in which case it would move around from year to year, different date every year, just like Easter moves around. So that ensures we'd have that public holiday in January, and it would be tied to a celebration of all Australians, and wouldn't be tied to a particular date. I mean, 26 is a strange date anyway. I'm sorry, going to controversial topics here, because the colony of New South Wales and having the land recognised as the possession of King George III didn't actually happen on the 26th of January sometime. I think it was about the 8th of February or something like that. So it's a bit of a weird date to celebrate in that sense. But look, we've always, you know, Rangers, and we always will seek to have it as a day that brings everyone together, that everyone can celebrate what it is to be Australian, and no matter where you come from, no matter what your background, that we can all be together as a community celebrating what's great about Australia.
Yeah, and it's not hard to actually research what happened with Australia Day over the years and decades, and it has moved all around the year. It's had different names, different states have even run it at different times in the past. So saying, oh, it's always been that, it's not the case. It is that now. Really, that's the date.
Yeah.
There's nothing magical about it.
And just for the avoidance of doubt, that was just my personal observations. Mm. As a council, our policy is to celebrate Australia Day on the 26th of January.
Yeah, and always good events. I end up going to them each year. And, well worth seeing. And now we're going to move to Warburton. Things happening in Warburton.
Yes, lots of things happening in Warburton. Probably the biggest driver in terms of projects that council's been across is the Warburton Mountain Bike Destination, which, just to recap, is stage one is bringing over 110 kilometres of world-class mountain biking trails to Warburton and the hills surrounding. And
very long project.
Yeah, it's a big project. It's an important project because there are many people who love that area and have wanted to ride mountain bikes and have in the past ridden mountain bikes there, which is not ideal. People just making their own trails is very bad for the environment and probably risky for them as well. So it's better that we harness that interest and we involve others and we formalise trails and we build them in a way that they're kind to the environment and they're safe for riders. There'll always be an element of risk and excitement, but you want to just make sure that these are very stable and environmentally sound trails. So the team have been out there. We've engaged probably the most experienced trail builders in the world called World Trail, and they've been working with council and other agencies to do what they call ground truthing, which is a bit of jargon to mean, here's what it looks like on the plan, but let's just get on the ground and see, is this the trail that we should build in this particular alignment? And when they do get on the ground, they discover, oh, hang on, this particular gully, that's full of particularly sensitive plants, things we want to preserve. How do we work around this? Do we reroute? Do we put boardwalks over it? What are the things we do to make sure that we can both support the people wanting to come and explore the area on mountain bike and some cases on foot, but also make sure we look after the environment? So that's being worked through. All those checks are being done, and some final alignments will be done, and that then comes back to informing really important reports that need to be done to inform all the other people who have a real strong interest in this area. So that's people like DELP and Melbourne Water and Parks Victoria and others who are charged with responsibilities of looking after the local environment.
Because the environment is quite special out here. And I don't just say that because, you know, it's the thing to say nowadays. But if you go for a walk through the bush, then you sort of thinking it's the bush, everything's the same. Yeah, one bit of bush is the same as the next bit. We just call it the bush. But when you get down to the fine details of where you are at any given spot, there's differences. And like I know even in Mount Evelyn where I live, in Alinda Creek, there's a sort of this tiny shrimp thing living there. That's the only place they live in the world.
Yeah, all the more reason we need to protect water water catchments, and particularly the further out you go, the more impact that it's going to have on downstream effects. So if there's areas that are super, super sensitive and there's no other way around it, then trail alignments have to move. But there's a lot of good methods that can be done to make sure that trails are built in a way that's environmentally sustainable.
Yeah,
you can imagine if it's just left to Yahoos, we'll call them, who might make their own trails. They might make a trail that runs from the very top of a hill straight down,
yeah.
Which could be a lot of fun. But that's then a cut in the land that just will promote erosion.
Mm.
We'll see a lot of rutting going on, material, all the soil being washed away, and that all ending up down in creeks and end up in the river, and you've got this deep ravine forming in the side of a hill. It's exactly the wrong thing to have happen, and that's why it's really important that we get the best people to construct trails that are very soundly engineered to protect the environment and ensure people have a good experience riding. I mean, some people have the view that the whole lot should be locked up and no one should go in there. But I think we've got to find a balance. We do want to encourage people to have that engagement, as you talked about, Greg, with the environment. It's so good for our mental health, getting out in the greenery and soaking all that in. If we don't have people out there exercising as part of it, riding bikes or walking or even running on trails, it's great for our physical well-being as well. So the combination of those is really important and to be encouraged. And the more we have people within reason using these areas and exploring those areas, the more we can justify having local and state and federal resources put in to maintain those environments.
Yeah.
If we just lock things up and keep people out, that the real danger is that they can become weed infested, that other issues emerge in there, and we're really not getting, the most joy we can from that environmental experience.
Yeah, and another thing happening in Warburton, that they're going through a process called a place plan. And that's where people in the town or who use the town can liaise with the Shire and say, we would like to see this sort of thing happen, that sort of thing happen here in Warburton.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you touched on the most important bit. It's about talking to the people in Warburton and surrounding areas about what they love about Warburton, what should never change, what can be improved, and where this town should go to help them. The things like mountain biking will bring in more energy and certainly improve the local economics, which is good because it is a town that that has over a number of years suffered a degree of decline, and that has an impact on local jobs, has an impact on local services. So people in Warburton are missing out on local employment and local services because of that. So bringing activities like the mountain biking and other tourist-oriented activities will bring people back to the town. But what the place plan aims to do is to say, how do we ensure that as Warburton develops and regathers that economic strength, that things are done in a way that suits locals and that is sustainable, that everyone's driving towards a better future for Warburton, and that the growth that inevitably will happen will be done in a way that people locally will appreciate and helps maintain the amenity of the town. Mm. If you can imagine, if you didn't do this sort of work, the chaos could ensue, and that there'd be some poor outcomes indeed. So at this stage, people have been engaged continually from December last year through to May this year, and some work was then done to put the feedback to date into a directions paper, and that's now going back out to the community for further commentary. So you can imagine a diverse community has lots of different views. What we've got to do is try and gather as many people together and help them agree broadly on the direction of where they want to go as a community. So there's going to be further feedback now when we issue that draft Warburton Place Plan.
Yeah. Yeah, very important, because once the council knows then the direction the community would like to take, then they know where to put in the resources, where to plan ahead in things. So thank you, all those residents of Warby, who've had a say and working with the council on that. Bit of a long process, but then you don't want to rush these things. And I imagine one of the things that's important, no matter which way you go, is traffic management, because one road in and out, and it's sort of the end of the line there on Warby Highway. And you've got limited places for parking and all that sort of thing.
I think some of it will come down to just being wiser about signage.
Mm.
I know I've spoken to some locals about parking and wanted to be there for events, and where do you suggest I park? And there's lots of places for parking.
Mm.
They're just not well signposted. And what we need to do is just think about how we can ensure that the any additional load on the town is spread around. Are there opportunities to have people start their mountain biking and other outdoor activities in different locations? It's not like that. Everything has to happen, say, starting at the post office in Warburton.
Mm.
There's many opportunities for people to start at different trailheads and gather in different locations, and also in other towns in the Upper Yarra. So I think there's going to be a fair demand on council and other agencies to work on the signage, to work on the information, and to encourage people to consider all their options, and not just have everyone say, converge on, let's all start at the post office and go from there.
Yeah. And before we leave Warburton, the council had their last meeting there, didn't they?
Yeah, it was fantastic. Look, we really like getting on the road when we have that opportunity to go out to the community. It's a fair drive, obviously, in Warburton into Lilydale, so people can't always make a council meeting there, so it's nice to be able to take the council meeting to them and to also have things on the agenda particularly relevant to Warburton. So we always receive a warm welcome. Not everyone agrees with us, of course, but they're very friendly and respectful in Warburton, and it's a great old hall out there, and it's great to be able to put that to good use as well.
Mm. Excellent. Councillor Tony Stevenson in the studio with me as the Mayor. And we've been talking Australia Day Awards, we've been talking all sorts of things about Warburton, and now we're going to talk about how the Shire can be friendly to small business.
Oh, absolutely. Well, look, I would hope people would think council is friendly, but I think we might have a bit of way to go there just to that overcome any public perceptions. It's difficult when you're a public authority. You've got certain jobs to do that you're just obliged to do. And there's certain regulations that everyone needs for us to run as an orderly society. Sometimes those regulations can get a bit out of hand, and I feel particularly sorry for someone starting a business. And if you're thinking particularly a hospitality business, it might be a small cafe, and there's a lot of forms you need to fill in.
Yeah.
You know, things from, you know, often they're state-based forms and permits you need. And the experience we've heard from too many businesses is that it's just so hard.
Mm.
You might have three or four forms that you need to complete. So there's a degree of duplicated information across those forms. They'll ask for your name, address, phone number, etc. But they might be considered by four different parts across council. So you as a small business owner are sitting there saying, well, what's going on? Mm. Why do I, you know, where am I up to? I've got all this other planning I'm doing, which coffee machine I'm going to buy, where am I going to source my coffee from, hopefully locally, and a whole lot of other things going on, and you're just saying, why is it so hard? So absolutely recognise that. What we're aiming to do and are putting in place is the idea of being a small business-friendly council.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really important Yarra Rangers, because 98% of all of our businesses are small businesses.
Yeah.
So there's about 14,000 businesses. When we say small business, they're the ones that employ less than 20 people.
Mm.
And that's 98% of them. Because you know, often the big businesses have their headquarters in tax havens or in the big cities or otherwise. We've got good local, community-minded and connected businesses, and we need to support them. So the aim is to say, instead of having too many forms, let's streamline and simplify the forms. We shouldn't be making it any harder than it already is to start and run a business.
Mm.
And what we want to do is run like a concierge model where a new business owner or someone looking to change their business can come and talk to one person at council.
Yeah.
And if there needs to be four different parts of council involved, well, that's council's problem. It shouldn't be the business owner's problem. So they'll have one contact, this concierge. It'll be up to that person, if they need to work right across council to get the job done, just to streamline it and make it smoother. So that's probably a couple of the ingredients in what it takes to deliver on aspiration of being a small business-friendly council.
Yeah.
The other one I think is important, because we have a procurement policy that says we do make sure that we consider local suppliers, and ideally if they measure up, that'd be, that's fantastic.
Yep.
But when we're using suppliers, and often small businesses, the challenge they have is in potentially a power imbalance, that they've got a large organisation like the council, we have more resources, yep. and they're only small. They've got limited resources. Every week, every fortnight, they've got to make the payroll. They've got to prepay materials. Mm. They've got to do all the work. So they're very dependent on their suppliers paying them on time. And what we're doing as part of this Small Business Friendly Council initiative is absolutely ensuring that we meet all those payments on time, and using that as a way to encourage everyone else in the community to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was only meeting with a business owner this morning who manufactures, I might get too specific, otherwise we'll get into it, but manufacturing community infrastructure, shall we say.
Yep.
And it was really interesting to hear how they go about putting together what they do. So they're relying on another business in Bayswater who do some part of the process. There's someone else in Mount Evelyn that does another part of the process. Mm. And ultimately, they may have their own subcontractors who might do installation. So you can just see how everyone's interconnected locally,
yeah.
and how important it is that we keep this local small business economy going strongly. And we'd like to see it grow. We'd like to see more people living locally and working locally. Mm. And so it's really important that we make it easier for people to start and run a business and try and get out of their way.
Yeah. So when a small business wants to meet with their concierge, do they go to the front desk in Anderson? Or?
Yes, or make a phone call and set something up that that works for them.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is really to tailor the service as best we can. And a lot of it's come from learning and listening. But I really admire the brave people in council who invited businesses in who had a bad experience,
yeah.
and said, all right, we need to hear this. We need to learn from this. Tell us about your experience. How did we let you down? So we had to work, you know, to be fair, we had to work a bit to find some of those people. But the team really sat down and listened and listened hard and said, right, well, based on that, what do we need to change?
Yep.
And I think that's a really good sign that you've got people willing to listen and willing to change and to find a better way of doing things to ensure that we can just help business owners get on with things.
Excellent stuff. So there you go, your council trying to be small business friendly. Try them out, folks. Try them out.
You're with Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley.
Yes, and another voice of the valley we have in the studio is Councillor Tony Stevenson, the Mayor of the Shire, and we've been talking all sorts of things, but we also want to have a bit of a chat about community grants.
Oh, yes, every year a lot of work goes into these, both from community groups who put their submissions in, but we have an independent judging panel who mm-hmm. have to go through and weigh up all of the applications and consider what it is they're putting forward, how beneficial it is to the community, and try and make some really tough decisions, because inevitably there are many really good ideas and we can only fund just some of them. But look, year on year we have increased the amount of funding, so that this year it's almost $421,000 that's gone out to 75 different applicants right across the Yarra Ranges. As we all know, it's a huge area, 55 townships. We don't try to there's a measure in there to ensure that there's a good spread, but it really goes based on the quality of the applications. So I know there's some areas that might feel they're a bit light on. I just encourage people in those communities to think next year about what they want to see happening locally, because more than happy to support it, but we need those submissions to come in. But it's absolutely fantastic. I mean, we just well, the announcements and who's been funded is on the council website now. If you go to yarrarangers.vic.gov.au/grants, and we've obviously let everyone know who applied, whether they were successful, and for those people, and they're overjoyed, of course, and those people who are unsuccessful, why they may have been unsuccessful and what they might think about doing differently for a future application. But it is competitive, so unfortunately we can't fund everything.
No, so we're not going to get a wave machine at Lillardale Lake so we can go surfing?
No. But it's really in areas of community development, festivals and events or arts and heritage.
Mm.
So we're very proud to be able to say supporting yet again the River Folk Festival at Warburton again next year. And that's delightful. And the quality of talent they draw locally and from right around the world. And that magnificent setting there by the river in the town.
And they're getting more and more organised. They've learnt a lot over the years. When you get people running events over a period of years, then the events just get better and better. It looks easier to run. Same hard work's there, but people know what they're doing.
It does, and certainly we encourage cross-pollination, so if someone's has some expertise in running events and been successful, that encourage them to talk to others. Inevitably what happens over time is if we can get events going really, really well, they get to stand on their own feet, and that frees up funding for us to be able to seed the funding into something else worthy that's just starting out. So we'd hope to see some of these events can very much go from strength to strength, being self-funded in years to come. There's some interesting things. For example, Siri Services will develop All the Fields, which is at the Upper Yarra Kids Art Club, run after school and support the emotional health and well-being of children.
Right.
So just that idea of engaging young people, encouraging their creativity, and just bringing them together in a setting that's not just the classroom or not just the sporting field, but something that will encourage their artistic and creative side of things. Speaking about children again, there's the 3-day Lantern and Light International Children's Film Festival in Belgrave.
Mm-hmm.
So this will be, next year will be the second running, I think, of that. And I went to the showings this year, and they had entries from all over the world.
Mm.
So that a lot of local content as well, but there was entries from Ireland, Israel, some from the continent of Africa.
Mm.
Just amazing. And again, done so beautifully well, and you just realise how much talent there is that we can nurture locally. But I can't possibly go through the entire list now. We'd be here for the next hour. But have a look at the list, because there's some really quite deserving things, and we absolutely do our best to help support them with publicity as well.
And speaking of things happening in community, the street party happened again on Sunday in Mount Evelyn, and it's a biennial event every second year, and so it came around. And big kudos to all the organisers who chipped in, volunteered all their time and expertise to get the thing happening, because it is a huge event. It's grown over the years and has sort of peaked. I think last time they had it, we had 10,000 people coming through, which just happens to be the population of Mount Evelyn. And this year seemed like, possibly when it was raining, a bit less, but for the rest of the day, it was absolutely packed. And things happening all the time in numerous areas. There's the big main stage, there was a smaller youth stage, lots of street performers happening around the place, and a mix of lots of community groups having stalls and information centres set up, but also lots of the general market type stalls happening as well.
I think it's absolutely a great example of that that community driven effort where the volunteers get together. Sometimes I don't think they fully understand everything they're taking on, but
yep.
In the case of Mount Evelyn, they've been doing it now for quite a few years, and each year, as I hear, gets bigger and bigger in terms of just the quality of what goes on. I knew to get there early because parking was a challenge, but they also had good plans in for that, shuttle buses, good traffic management, all the thinking that goes in to make sure it's a safe and successful event.
Yeah,
that was good to see. But because I had two other things I had to do yesterday for council, I thought, I'll just pop in for an hour. I reckon I was there about 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
And even then I was apologising, having to get away, because you just bump into so many people.
Mm.
You see neighbours who've all got busy lives. They don't get enough chance to see each other, meeting in the main street, having a good chat. We had some excellent people there. Neil, who was on the radio just before, with Holy Fools, they had a stand there. And I saw Neil engaging with many people. And, of course, you had the dancing. There were even dance lessons, and I had to hide in the shadows, because I've I've got two left feet, and I thought, oh, hang on, I don't want to be drawn from those shadows into it. But I saw lots of other people getting involved,
yeah,
which is fantastic. Kids of all ages, whether 8 or 88, everyone was having a great time.
Yeah.
So that's fantastic to see. And as you said, congratulations to all the volunteers. It is a lot of work. It is worth it. But I think they're very wise in running it only every 2 years, because I suspect it takes them 18 months to recover from this to get ready for the next one.
Yeah. And yeah, if it was run every year, it probably wouldn't be as big. And then people would think, oh, is it worth it? So an absolute blast it was on Sunday, and the weather didn't really put a dampener on it. We've had it in extremely hot weather. We've had it in pouring rain over the years. But it's always worth going to. And the amount of input from the community groups, all the schools had things there. There was even we've even got a combined schools choir for the children. And then lots of other entertainment put on, even by local businesses. Lots of things happening all the time. So thank you very much to all those involved in the street party. It went off like a frog in a sock. So there you go. And that's the sort of thing the community grants coming from the Shire help build. It didn't start that big, but you got to start somewhere.
Yeah, I think it's a good measure of the quality of the attraction that, despite the weather, so many people came out. It's fantastic, and we saw quite a few things like that on the weekend. Probably the only other one I'd touch on that, we had Halloween on the Green up in Sassafras, so that was exciting. So I had the dubious honour of being wheeled in a casket and emerging from that. So rumours of my demise are greatly exaggerated.
I did hear something about that, yes.
Yeah, huge effort on behalf of families and the community to dress up and get really involved. And it was all for the benefit of local schools, which is good. But I had to race to that from the exercise that was run in Powelltown.
Oh, yeah.
The emergency services. Yeah. So
that even made national news.
Yeah, it was a big effort. I'm still waiting to hear of the debrief, because that's the most important thing. But it was a big simulation exercise, and I really want to thank all of those involved, all the emergency services who took it very seriously, came together, and their motto is, we work as one, and absolutely did, and working with council there as well, to engage with... I think it was Powelltown, Gilderoy, possibly Three Bridges. I might have that wrong, but three local communities in an area of high fire risk. One road in, one road out. And it was an opportunity for people to test their fire plan. So all the people involved had a fire plan, but did they follow it? Was it good enough? What did they learn from the exercise?
Yeah.
So a very good process to run. But it's a very good reminder for everyone that as we approach the end of the year and we approach that period of higher fire risk, to check, have you got your fire plan ready? Is it up to date? Reflecting on ours at home, it probably is not accurate anymore, because I think when we first wrote ours and thought about it, it's when our kids are in primary school.
Yeah.
And we could tell them what to do. They're now teenagers, they tell us what to do. So... there's a few changes, and we would do things differently because they're so much bigger and more capable, and we need to update our fire plan for that reason. Circumstances around you will change as well, and I think we can, here we are, it's 10 years, heading almost to 11 years since Black Saturday 2009, that can recede into our memory, and we can think that we're safe once again, but we're only safe if we're lucky and we have a good plan. There's always a risk, and we need to prepare for that. And now is the time to do those plans. Locally, right across the valley, CFAs will be holding briefing sessions. And I know people will say, oh, yeah, do it every year, or I've been to that, or I know that. I think it's really important to get back there, find out what the latest is, encourage your neighbours to go along as well, and your friends and family, and have everyone up to a high level of knowledge of the current situation, where things are at, what the fire season looks like it's going to be, and ensure that everyone is as prepared as they possibly can be.
Excellent. Well, Before you go, how's the new building going for the council?
It's progressing well now.
There's a question about notice.
No, that's okay. So stage one was to reconstruct the area where the old library was.
Yeah.
And there's been a few changes over the years. When that was built, it was built to a different standard.
Mm.
These days you have to build things, even in Lilydale, to be able to sustain an earthquake.
Yeah.
So, and that was something that came out through the process of design and development. And so a lot more rock had to be drilled down mm-hmm. into, and more big steel beams brought in to really anchor that building. So that's introduced a little bit of a delay, but we're getting on with it now. So there's a lot of steel work up now that people will notice, and we should conclude stage one by March next year, and then I'll be moving on to the bigger piece, stage two, which will be the demolition of the rest of the building. In order to
start, a lot of people start the cheering when the old council building comes down.
Well, it is an old building. Yeah, it dates back to 1959, and it's been extended two or three times.
Mm.
And there's a lot of movement in the building. There's a lot of cracks, and it just doesn't meet current standards.
Mm.
So it'll be much better, and I look forward to. It's probably going to be where are we? Midway through. 2021,
yeah,
I think, when we get to open. But importantly, what we'll have there is a great community facility. It's not just about offices for council. It's about building a multi-purpose facility that can also serve the needs of the community.
Mm.
Because while we've got a lot of council buildings, we don't have any that in that area that can hold groups larger than, say, 200 people.
Mm.
So we'll have that ability from that point onwards.
All right, well, thank you very much, Councillor Tony Stevenson. We'll see who's next mayor. You might be back in the chair again, who knows?
Oh, look, there's lots of good councillors to choose from, so I'll leave it to others.